witness of those who attack. Indictments, incitement, fiction, or fact. Zelensky, Putin, Ukraine fighting back. The border, the migrants, the policies we lack. Keeping you connected to Northwest Florida and the world. When you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
I'm not familiar. I'd have to look at their solicitation ordinance. As you know, I say this when this comes up all the time, there isn't a mayor in this United States of America that has figured out the perfect solution, because if they did, we'd all be doing it. If there was a clear solution, obviously, again, everybody would be entertaining it.
But we are not aware, again, of any ordinance throughout the state of Florida that will prohibit panhandling. If it's content-based.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Where it's just, you can't do it, but you can do it. Those are problematic for us. And again, I think that if someone were to say that we're just not enforcing an ordinance, the only reason we would not enforce an ordinance is because it's unconstitutional. And it would cause the taxpayers of Escambia County lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit.
So this has suddenly become a pretty big conversation. I mean, it's been simmering, okay? I think that a lot of people are, I know that a lot of people are very frustrated about panhandling, trash, debris, being accosted and harassed and irritated by panhandlers in Escambia County. Why is it not better than it is in Santa Rosa County? Of course, we talked with Sheriff Johnson about this on Monday. He said there's an ordinance they enforce. I looked at that ordinance. In Escambia County, Chip Simmons says there's no magic ordinance, and anything that works is probably unconstitutional. And I was having this conversation earlier, and Alex Andrade, our state representative, and I were kind of texting back and forth about this. So let's bring him into the conversation now. State Representative District 2, that's all the waterfront in Escambia and Santa Rosa County, the southern waterfront in Escambia and Santa Rosa County. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. It's been a second.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, good. Great to have you. So you and I were kind of texting back and forth, and the thing that I said was, people are frustrated. The political will to solve this problem is clearly there. The law enforcement will to solve this problem is there. The politicians reflecting the will of the people want to solve this problem. The problem is we have lawsuits and First Amendment precedent that seem to make it difficult. So how do we solve this problem? You have any ideas?
Well, first and foremost, I'll say that I don't know everything, right? Like no one is a master of everything, but what I'm planning on doing is a little bit more research and a little bit of drafting, and I intend to sponsor a bill this year to try and take this on. In Florida already, we regulate charities. Florida statute 496.404 defines, charities and solicitations, and requires that charities register with the state before they solicit funds from Floridians. I think it might be as simple as expanding that to make sure that everyone understands, that panhandling is essentially, it's an act of commerce, the same way any kind of charitable activity is an act of commerce. And it's able to be regulated by the state. And I think, if you do it without the proper licensure, you can be criminally charged and prosecuted, the same way as anybody else can. So, I'll be working on that this year, and hopefully that helps, settle some constitutional issues or questions that people might have.
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting point because, one of the things that Sheriff Simmons pointed out to me in the Santa Rosa ordinance was that there's an exemption for, we knew, political organizations, for, food delivery service workers, that kind of stuff. But there's also an exemption for charitable solicitation. But what you're saying is, yeah, but even when it comes to charitable solicitation, which of course it's charitable to me, right? Like if I'm the person on the corner with a sign asking you for money, I'm asking for the charity of one. But still, that might fall into that other umbrella if we can expand that umbrella to cover. It's one thing to say the First Amendment protects you to stand on the side of the road and have your sign and make your comment. But once you start engaging in the transfer of money, even if it's not in exchange for a product or service, that's potentially, you know, regulatable behavior, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the Santa Rosa ordinance, I mean, I haven't looked at it too closely. I know that, you know, some folks have tried to use it on me when I'm door knocking during a campaign or something, and I have to remind them it's political activity, and I can absolutely, you know, door knock in your HOA, I promise. But, you know, as far as you know, that ordinance goes, the exception for charity wouldn't conflict with what I'm talking about because the state regulates charitable organizations. So I have no doubt Santa Rosa County would say, if you're not licensed as a charity, you're not engaging in charitable solicitations that are allowed on our right-of-way. So whether or not, you know, that would pass constitutional muster, I still got to do a little bit of research on. But no, I think that just bringing this in, you know, a panhandler is selling guilt. They're selling somebody a peace of mind, a feeling like they're doing something charitable. And, you know, there's a huge chasm and distinction between our homeless population and our panhandler population. And that distinction, I think, is not lost on the majority of people who've looked at this issue closely. But yeah, I mean, if you're engaging in commerce, if you're soliciting funds from people you don't know, you're engaging in commerce, and consumers deserve to be protected from aggressive or fraudulent or deceitful practices.
Interesting. We're going to come back to this in just a second. We're talking to State Representative Alex Andrade about a bill he's working on drafting to change the way we think about and the way we deal legally with the problem of panhandling. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns or delays right now. Actually, the back gate, the front gate, of Pensacola NAS is backed up past Sunset. And we do see an accident now. It's Fairfield and Palafox. Showing a possible roadblock this morning, so use caution there, and certainly wherever you are. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Alex Andrade, our state representative. Let me just say this, Alex. If you manage to be the guy that solves panhandling, you can run for any office in the state and win. even just the honest try, you know, might get you a long way. I wonder also, because I know I like the approach you're talking about. I mean, it makes sense to me that you might be able to bring this in under the already existing police power of regulating, you know, charitable solicitation. I was also wondering, you made a comment about how you're selling guilt. I think there's an argument to be made that panhandlers are actually engaging in some kind of a theatrical performance for which they're soliciting tips. That, you know, somebody playing a guitar on Palafox, I mean, you know, it sounds a weird way to say it, but, you know, somebody who's playing guitar on Palafox and you're, you know, busking is something that, you know, certainly could be regulated if we want to, and it may be. I don't know the law related to that, but somebody who's on a street corner with a, you know, very pathetic-looking attire and maybe a dog or maybe a child and a sad sign is engaging in a certain kind of performance. It might be an honest performance. It might be a dishonest performance. I don't know. But they're engaging in a performance and asking you to tip them for that performance to, as you said, assuage your guilt. Would that be a possible vector of attacking this problem, of thinking of it as an entertainment transaction?
No, I mean, you bring up a good point. I mean, buskers also, I mean, a lot of times people see a lot of cultural value in that. There's a cultural aspect of that that I think is beneficial to a community. You know, but at the same time, my only concern there is, like, you're delving in a little bit towards content regulation, which you know, my red flags go up on, like,
sure,
content restrictions. Just because, like, who am I to say what is a good or bad performance? So like in that regard, I think it's possible. I mean, like, you can absolutely require licenses for people for buskers to operate on the right of way. But you know, in just how far you can go with that one, I don't know. I'd have to look into that, but no, that's a good idea too.
And yeah, I think it's probably a less good idea than the one that you had, which I'm glad to have that be the case. Also, I think like that approach would look more toward normalizing panhandling as entertainment, you know, the way we're talking about it, rather than, I like the approach you're saying of, you know, if you made it as charitable solicitation, you know, it might have more of an effect of simply deterring it or discouraging it because they're not going to be willing to go through that process. But, you know, we'll see. I also wanted to ask you, you had brought up a bill about schools and allowing municipalities basically to, what, create a charter? It's not create a school district. It's to basically acquire a public school into a charter or ask for that permission, right?
Yeah, so in Florida law right now, a city can create a charter school. They're allowed to create one from scratch, but for whatever reason, in that first paragraph that allows a city to create a charter school from scratch, the very next paragraph in Florida law cuts municipalities out of the list of people that can apply to convert a existing government-run public school to a charter school. I thought that that was kind of a ridiculous distinction to make. And I also thought it was somewhat silly that we still kind of gave this historical nod to teachers' unions by saying, in addition to parents, the majority of parents at a school voting to approve conversion, we also needed the majority of teachers to approve conversion. So the bill essentially says if you're a city and you want to apply to convert a public school to a charter and commit your own resources and attention to help, you know, try and, you know, support that school, you should be allowed to. And I think the parents are the only ones that should really have a say in that direction. So I'm excited for that bill. I got a Senate sponsor, you know, who should be filing that pretty soon. And I'm pretty excited to get to work on that one.
Interesting. I know the mayor yesterday, Mayor Reeves yesterday said that, you know, he's not going too far down the path of entertaining what that would mean for the city of Pensacola. But he said, look, my job as the mayor is to always look out for everybody, including our kids. And if this turns out to be a better way to provide for our kids, then, you know, I'm interested in finding out more for sure. Last thing is we were just talking before we got on the air, and you said not only are you working on this bill for panhandling control, but you're also working on a bill for dun 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 Ticketmaster.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And while I'm not a Swiftie, I am a big fan of Zach Bryan. Zach Bryan did an album last November called All My Homies Hate Ticketmaster, and I bought the T-shirt for that album because I was such a fan. But for Ticketmaster right now, the issue is we have public venues that accept public funds. They have these exclusive contracts with Live Nation, Ticketmaster's parent company, to only use Ticketmaster as their platform. I think if you're a performer like Taylor Swift or Zach Bryan, you have a platform yourself to sell tickets. You shouldn't be forced by that venue to sell your tickets on Ticketmaster if you want to contract with that venue to use a different platform. Also, one big issue right now that no one is talking about is venues and artists are holding back, you know, sometimes 20 or 30% of all tickets from the initial distribution of tickets, and they're selling them directly on the secondary market at a marked-up rate. I think that's where you get a lot of bots involved. You know, you have click farms involved. So those tickets are never actually sold for a first time to a human being at face value. So part of the bill says that venue also is not allowed to sell a ticket at anything other than the listed face value price, and that all tickets at least once have to be sold to an individual human being at face value. So I think that'll go a long way towards kind of addressing the problem with what we're seeing with Ticketmaster right now. And at the same time, not interfere too much with people's operations.
So it's a sort of an antitrust sort of theme there is, you know, anti-monopoly theme on the
yep.
front end. And then, as you said, on the requirement to sell the tickets at the retail price if you're a venue that you don't get to engage in that kind of artificial market manipulation. No, I like it. And this is why, you know, I know lawyers get a bad rap, especially when they become bad rap when they become politicians. And all these congressmen and the state representatives, they're all lawyers. I like having a lawyer in the House because I know you're going to find the angle of attack that works and that will pass the legal test and won't get just struck down because it was a good idea, but an illegal one. So I always appreciate that mind you bring to it. Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. Very interesting. I look forward to the verbiage on the panhandling bill particularly, but thanks for joining us this morning. I appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. See